I want to continue on this morning. We've been in a series about what are you reaching for. I've given you, four letters that have the acronym REACH in it. I think five things that we're to reach for. I've given you four of those. The first one we're to reach for is relationships. The second one was evangelism. The third one was accountability. The fourth one we went over last week was about calling. And we talked about calling, your God-appointed purpose or task to help advance the kingdom of God. Not just while I'm called to be a doctor, called to be a lawyer. Those are great callings and all that as well, and are called whatever you do in school. But there's this aspect of a calling that we complete and fulfill that which we were designed for. There's something that God wants us to do to help advance His kingdom, to be a part of kingdom principles. And you know, there really is only one kingdom, right? There's not your kingdom and God's kingdom. There is only one kingdom. So fulfilling your job and all that is a part of that. But there's this aspect of giving something of yourself away to other people so that they might come to understand that there's something greater than the here and now we live in. There's something greater. There's a great I am that wants to do something great inside of their life. We said that to fulfill a calling, it takes faith. It takes obedience. A calling takes us from one dimension to another. You're never too old. You're never too young to fulfill a calling. A calling is not a destination. A calling is a process, a journey. It's an adventure. God may call you, but it's always our privilege to respond to the call. He's never going to force you. He said that his giftings and callings are irrevocable. He's not going to take them back. They're there for you. Whether you take them or not is up to you. But God has given them to you, and He wants you to apply them. So also, if you want any of the messages that we've done, you can go to Living Faith Fellowship online or go to our Living Faith Fellowship app and get down and download any of the messages that we have done around here. I want to talk, though, this morning. I want to talk a little bit more about calling. I want to add a concept to this calling. I want to add zeal to it. I want to add zeal to our calling. I know that that's what they're talking about up at the big weekend. They're talking about this idea of zeal. I think that God has given us a calling. Our response to our calling is what we give back to Him, right? He gives us this amazing calling and all the giftings that we need in order to fulfill that calling. And what we do with that calling, I think, is our gift back to Him, is what we give back to Him. Answer your call, though, with zeal and not drudgery. Everybody say zeal.
Zeal.
Say drudgery. It just doesn't sound good. Does anybody like drudgery? Monotony? Boredom? Oh, gee, I'm so excited I'm alive so I can be bored and live a life of drudgery until they put me in the grave. I don't think anybody wants that. I don't think anybody on their tombstone says he was born, he lived a life of drudgery, and now he's with the Lord. I don't think that's what our calling is. And again, God's given us the calling. How we approach it, the attitude that we approach that calling is also up to us. Do we approach it with an attitude of zeal? Or do we approach it with an attitude of drudgery? Monotony, boring, hard, difficult, don't like it, don't want to do it. Please, Lord, take this from me. Instead of, Lord, I want to fulfill the calling that you've placed on my life. Now, let me address something at the very start here because I was messed up last night. I thought, you know, Lord, this is going to be so awesome. It's very easy to do a message on adversity, or excuse me, on zeal when everything is going great. It's very difficult to do a message on zeal when things don't go as you planned that they would go. And I think for the Cougars last night, they probably didn't go as planned. I think for the Vandals, they went as planned. They went better than planned. Go Vandals. Thank God we don't have to live or die by the Cougars, right? But we have a bigger calling than that. We have something great. But still, I was just going, gosh, Lord, it's a bummer. It's a bummer. I go, it would have been so great if you would have just kept it so wonderful there. I would have done this great message. And he goes, yeah, but that's not life, Phil. What do you mean? Life isn't just all roses and everything happy and everything wonderful and we're always zealous and it's really easy. No, life isn't like that. And he spoke this to me this morning. He said, adversity will always test zeal. Wow. Adversity will always test zeal. It's always to be happy when it's happiness out there. It's a little more difficult to display the joy of the Lord when it's not as circumstantially happy. Anybody can be happy when it's all happy. But there's something about a person who displays this happiness, this fear of the Lord, this excitement for God, even though the deck seems stacked against them. And honest to goodness, the deck, I don't know how, I can't believe how many things could go wrong in that whole game. And literally, I was working on the message. I watched that, and then I had to finish up the message, and I had to go outside, and I had to go, Lord, I got to clear my head, man. I'm messed up here. You didn't fulfill my plan. This isn't how it was supposed to go. First thing when I woke up this morning, I thought about that. I couldn't get back to sleep. I mean, I'm just thinking about it. And it's like adversity will always test zeal. And my heart, as I was there, I just prayed for the team, because the team and coaches, because honestly, you know, we get over and all that. I know what it was like when all of a sudden we suffered a crazy thing that happened like that in football, and it hits your heart heavy. So I was praying for them and all of that, and then I was realizing, you know, God can do the greatest things when the toughest things happen. It's like what we could do now, we could either quit and go, you know, we're done. We lost the game, so we're not going to play anymore. And we could all just, you know, take our gear and go home. Or we could realize, you know what? There's a lot more adventures to happen out there on the field. There's a lot more games to be won. There's a lot more exciting things to happen. There's a lot more stories to be told and adventures that they're going to live on past us that are left there on the field. And if we don't go out there and get on the field, then we'll miss out on that. I know a lot of people that just quit. Difficult things happen and they quit. They don't let the zeal of the Lord. But there's a lot more of the season left. There's a lot more of your life left. Regardless of what's happened to you, regardless of adversity, it does not matter. Have you been knocked down by a trial? Have you been hurt by an adversity? Don't let it steal your zeal. There are more games for you to play in life. We got to keep going. We need to keep going, because I love, there's a verse that says, this too will pass. And we always look at it as the difficulty. Oh, it's difficult. This too will pass. Thank you, Lord. It'll get better. But it's also when it's going good, this too will pass. It was just great. Everything was wonderful. And then it wasn't wonderful. There's something bigger than the circumstances we face in life. And that's a God who will take us through it. The great I am. And there's a life that we'll be living forever and eternity. That we'll look back on this one and go, what? Answer your call with zeal and not drudgery, regardless of the circumstances. I don't think anybody wants to, I don't think the Lord wants to put on display a Christian with a bad attitude. What do you think about the Lord? He's fine. Yeah, but I asked for this, prayed for that, I prayed for this parking spot, it didn't happen, I'm really bummed at him, you know. I want this, I want that, I want all this stuff. And they got this bad attitude about everything. Everything happened just wah, 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 wah. You know, Debbie Downer about everything. It's just, oh my gosh, you can see the bad in everything rather than the good in everything. God always has something good he's up to. He's always doing something good. I love that. I love that. The trolls just had a baby. Are they here today? I know I saw Ellis. I don't know if Mia's here. Oh, she's here. Where are you, Mia? Where's the little one? Woo! Levi Ardeo Troll. In Excel's these Deo Troll. It's Levi Ardeo Troll. I love it. He was born on 9/19/19. Isn't that crazy? He weighed 9 pounds, 9 ounces. He was 19 inches long, born at 9/19. Now, all the rest of it didn't happen, but would have been cool. He was 9 pounds, but just not 9 ounces. It was 3 ounces. Not 19 inches long, 21 and a half. He's a troll, for crying out loud. Surprised he wasn't 27 inches long. But the amazing thing is this. Ardeo. Do you know what Ardeo stands for? Ardeo is the Latin word for ardor, which means zeal. Zeal. I thought, wow. See, God's going, see, I did give you something material for today. Gave you something. Thank you, Lord. Next year, I'm going to, tomorrow, I should say what I'm going to speak on next week, but I'm not going to because I don't want somebody to have a baby and just name him that. So, and you'll know why when you hear the next one. Zeal, passion, fervor, loyalty. What a name, man. To be zealous. What are you going to be zealous for? I want to be zealous for the Lord. Amen. You see, God is zealous for us. Are we zealous for Him? Do we have zeal, passion, fervor, and loyalty for Him? I love what it says in Zechariah 8:2, speaking about the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. I like it. He uses a lot of zeal here. I am zealous for Zion with great zeal, with great fervor. I am zealous for her. He gets the idea. He's zealous in here. I'm zealous for her. Zion, and we're not just talking about Mount Zion. We're talking about the people of Zion. He's talking about the people of God. I am zealous for her. I am zealous for them. I came here for them. I put them here on the earth. I'm redeeming them. I'm taking them to heaven with me. I love them. I'm zealous for them. I'm for you. He's zealous. He's zealous. Are we as zealous for Him? I love that David and Jesus, because I'm going to give this scripture here, they fulfilled their call with zeal. If you wouldn't mind standing, I'm just going to read one verse here out of the passage we're going to go over this morning. It's in John 2, verse 17. John 2, 17. Let's say this together. Then His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Let's say it one more time. Zeal for your house has eaten me up. Maybe see it. Wow, I just thought, it's an interesting verse. It's spoken of David. David spoke it in the Psalms, in Psalm 69:9. He says that about himself. He also says it prophetically of Jesus. And the disciples remember this and bring back exactly what was said. There's this idea of being zealous. This idea of something eating me up. Because zeal for your house, I don't think He's talking about a building. I think He was talking about a people. I think He was talking about a relationship. I think He was talking about His God and the people of God. Let's go back just a little bit in John 2. I want to tell you where this scripture was coming from. Again, you already know it goes back to 69:9. It's a prophecy about Jesus, but was also fulfilled by David. He did have a zeal for the Lord. A man after God's own heart. But in John 2, 13 through 7, it says this. It's talking about the cleansing of the temple. There were two cleansings, one early in Jesus' tenure. This is the early one. And there was one at the end of his time in Jerusalem, where He kind of did the same thing. And it says this. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found the temple. He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, He drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers of money. Can you imagine just taking the money, just throwing it out, dumping it out, and overturned the tables? Now, it's a little extreme here, Jesus. You're getting a little bit, you know, carried away here. I don't think, though, and this is a good point when it comes to zeal. You see, when you're zealous, you don't care what people think about you. When you're zealous, you don't care what people think. I think one of the things that inhibits us as Christians to be on fire and doing great things for God and willing to witness and whatever at a drop of a moment is that we do care about what somebody thinks. We do care. Will they think I'm a fanatic? Will they think this? Will they think that? I don't want to come on too strong. I don't think Jesus was going, oh, I hope I don't hurt them. You know, when I dump all their money over, I hope they find it. I'm going to kick the cows and stuff out of here. I hope that I don't hurt anybody. He made a whip, for crying out loud. He drove them out of there. I don't think he was caring. Now, I'm not saying go into Walmart and start beating people up, all right? But there was this idea, you know, Jesus was a loving person. Everybody loved him. But he didn't care what people thought, good or bad, about him. He wanted to fulfill his call with zeal. And he does. He does. He drove them all out, poured out the changers of money, and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. In another passage, he talks about, don't make it a den of thieves. It's a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. And why would he say that? And I think you all know that here they are coming and they're coming to sacrifice, and people coming from far, far away from different countries are coming in. Well, they're not bringing their animal to sacrifice, so they're coming in and they're going to buy an animal. But as they bought the animal to sacrifice in the temple, they just jacked the price up, right? They just kept jacking it up, so it became harder and harder. The changes of money also, as you came in to pay your half shekel of temple tax, you came in and you paid that once a year, you're paying a half shekel, they wouldn't take Roman money or money from any other place. Because that Roman money had a picture of the emperor on it. And they thought that was idolatrous. We don't take that kind of money. So they took money. The high priest said, hey, we'll take the money from Tyre. Tyre had a mint there. They minted money, the Tyrian shekel. They would take that. So you had to come and exchange whatever money you had from whatever land you were at in order for this money that was approved by the temple. Now, it's interesting because that other money from Tyre also had images of other people on it. You're kind of going, wait a second, I thought the idea was no idols and no. The idea was that the high priest approved what it was. And one commentator said, also noting that the high priest got a kickback on all the exchange that happened there as well. I'm thinking, hey, that's not good. That's not right. We're profiting off of this? We're profiting off of people's devotion? We're profiting off of people's zeal for God? What a shame. What a shame. And he drove them out. It didn't last long because a couple years later, they go back in and do exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. But zeal for your house has eaten me up. And I want to look at this scripture because I think it's very interesting as we kind of dissect it and take a look at it. The word zeal here, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Zeal, it means to be hot. It talks about the boiling of liquids. It would need to be hot to be that. Or the glow of solids. You know, you see metal glowing. It's really hot. It's really, really hot. It means to be fervid, to be earnest. Fervid means to be very hot. It means burning. Got this idea. He's saying this zeal. There's a burning. There's this desire. They're on fire. Some of the prophetic words this morning were about being on fire for God. But that's how they could picture it. Fire just is consuming it. It's hot. It's dynamic. It changes stuff when it gets involved. This zeal. And where are we directing our zeal to? All the affairs of this life, or to that which will never change? That which is here forever. That which I understand wins the last game that we're all going to be playing in. I read the answer. We all win at the end, folks. And I'm thankful for that. This zeal. Zeal. Then it says house. The zeal for your house. The word house is oikos. It means a dwelling or a family. I think about the dwelling of his father. The house where his father was dwelling. Jesus. His father was dwelling here. David, when he spoke about this, his father is... His God was dwelling in this tabernacle, in this place, in this house. They were zealous for God's presence. They were zealous for God to show up. They were zealous for the people of God. They were zealous to do what God wanted them to do. They were zealous to fulfill their calling. Now, this other one I think is really good. I enjoyed this part. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up. The word eaten me up is a word that means to eat down or devour. To eat down or devour. And I was looking up this word and seeing some what other people's thoughts were on this, a commentator. He said, David, speaking of himself and prophetically of the Messiah, takes notice of his zeal for God's house as so great that it even ate him up. His zeal ate him up. It ate him up. And what commentators say that means is it made him forget about himself. It ate him up. It made him forget about himself. No longer me. You see, zeal makes us, true zeal, makes us forget about ourselves. And then you do some crazy things. Have you heard the phrase, forget you? Forget you. You should say, thank you. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. Forget you. Forget you. Instead of sending yourself forget-me-nots, you should be sending yourself forget-me's. Out there on the kitchen table a big bouquet of forget-me's to remind me that I'm to forget me. Anyway. Forget you. What would it be like to live a life where you just forgot you because it was consumed with something else? What's eating me up is you. It's eating me up. There's no me anymore because it's all about you. I thought, wow. What would life be like if we totally forgot ourselves and totally lived for God? This is what David tried to do. David. You know David, this perfect human being. This guy, you know, he has a heart after God. God says, man, he's just thinking, you got zeal for me, man. I love it and all that. And you've just done everything perfect. No, I don't think so. He didn't do everything perfect. He was a liar. He lied. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. I'm thinking, wow, those are... It hits a couple of those big Ten Commandments there. He was a liar, adulterer, a murderer, and a man after God's own heart. Yeah, that's him, man. I love him. Love that guy. But he's a liar, a murderer, and an adulterer, and you like him? Oh, man, he just loves me. The zeal he has for me is incredible. But aren't we all in that category? Haven't we all lied somewhere? Murdered? Oh, I never killed anybody. Well, the Bible says, hey, if you think bad about someone, evil about someone, you've already committed murder. The Bible says if you ever lusted after a woman, you've committed adultery. You see, we look at, well, David did the biggies. So do all of we. We make mistakes. We don't do it right. We mess up. All of us here have. But you know what God does? He goes, oh, man, I love your zeal for me. Man, you're doing, I love you. You're awesome. Keep coming, man. Keep coming. Keep burning. Keep burning. David, a man after God's own heart, even though he wasn't perfect. He was zealous enough for God that he would become a fool for God. Because zeal had eaten him up. He forgot about himself. Forget me. Forgot about me. I forgot about me. So much so that in the story in 2 Samuel chapter 6, when David's bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, he takes off his kingly outer coverings and he dances before the Lord because he's so excited about the presence of God. The ark is coming into Jerusalem. He's excited to have him here and he's just taking off his outer clothes and he's just dancing before the Lord. And then his wife says, Michael says, how glorious was the king of Israel today? I don't think she was saying how glorious was the king of Israel today. I think she was saying, oh, how glorious was the king of Israel today? Uncovering himself in the eyes of the maidens of his servants as one of the base. That word base, if you look it up, means worthless. Fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. David, you're worthless. You're worthless. I can't believe you did that. You acted so undignified. You didn't act like a king. You acted like some shameless, worthless person. I think David knew who he was. I am a worthless person without Christ. Or without his God at that moment. So David says in 2 Samuel, coming down a little bit further in verses 21 and 22, so David said to Michal, it was before the Lord. I was doing this for God. And I will be even more undignified than this and will be humble in my own sight. I love it when he just says, oh, you think that was bad? Michal, wait till tomorrow, man. I'm going to be more undignified than that. You think I'm zealous for God? Oh, I'm going to be more undignified. You think I'm on fire? No. I'm going to be more undignified than that. I'm going to forget me more. You see, when you're undignified, you kind of forget about you. Forget about it. Forget about it. We need to start forgetting about stuff. And the first person we need to forget about is ourselves. Forget about it. Undignified. It means appearing foolish and unseemly, lacking in dignity. Undignified in the world's eyes, but God said, oh, wow! Look at his heart, man. He's zealous for me. You see, sometimes when the world looks at you and says you're undignified, you're a radical, you're an idiot, you're whatever, God looks at you and says, oh my gosh, you have a heart after me. I love your zeal. Now, I'm not trying to say we should go out and be arrogant to people and we should get whips and beat everybody up. But I am saying, maybe every once in a while, forget about yourself. Forget about how it looks. Forget about how you're going to make that comment. Just make it. Forget about, oh, I don't want to. Forget about it. And just let your zeal take over. Just forget about it. Forget about yourself. Because that's what zeal is. It is amazing what you could do for the Lord if you didn't care what other people thought of you. What would they say? Oh, what will they say? If I don't say it right, if I don't. What would life be like if we totally forgot ourselves and totally lived for God? That's what Jesus did. I said that's what David tried to do, and honestly, he did a pretty good job of it. That's what Jesus did. He forgot about himself. He totally poured himself out. He totally lived for God. He totally showed us what zeal really is like. He forgot about himself. He's going to a cross. He forgot about himself. He remembered for a moment, said, Dad, if it's possible, take this from me, but hey, forget about it. Reckless abandon to the Lord. He was just zealous. The zeal, your house has eaten him up. I want to be like that. I want to forget about me. What would life be like if we totally forgot ourselves and totally lived for God? That's what Paul did. In Philippians, I know I talked a little bit about this last week, but I want to just, if I could, touch it a moment again. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do. I could see him going, there's only one thing, ladies and gentlemen, there's only one thing. Forget about yourself and do this one thing. At all costs, whatever it costs, whatever. This one thing. But this one thing I do. A lot of things I do out there. A lot of things are a lot of stuff. But one thing is important. Forgetting. Forget about yourself. Forget about what happened. Forget it. Start being zealous for God. Forgetting those things which are behind. I forget about them. I just forget them. I let go of them. I don't hold them anymore. Forget about those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, he was zealous to fulfill his call. Paul was zealous to fulfill his call, and he was going to do it at all costs. It didn't matter. It was the most important thing. Is Delisa Lindstrom in here? Is she here? Huh? Oh, they're camping. Good, then I can talk about her. I was going to ask her for permission, but I know she would give it. Delisa, you know how... Delisa's a very conservative person in demeanor. At least as you see her. She came into my office and she does all of the finances and stuff here at the church. And so we were meeting this week and she comes in and she goes, Pastor Phil, thank you for... And she talks really quietly. When you're zealous, you don't have to just be loud and obnoxious. God's looking here. What's burning inside there? She says to me, Pastor Phil, I've really appreciated your series here. And this last one on calling, God really spoke to me. What he spoke to me, has she talked to you, Tony? Tony Wofford? He said, I believe that God has called me to pray for people to see them be healed. Awesome. And I said, are you sure? I didn't say that. I said, whoa, really? Okay, here's the steps we're going to take now. Get a hold of Tony. Get on the healing, on the after service ministry team. I want you to talk to Steve Stone because I feel that also it's going to be a prophetic thing. She's going to hear things. She's going to be praying for folks to be healed. And as it happens that God will begin to show her things and all that. She all of a sudden, this really quiet person, almost shaking, looked at me. And I could see this big smile on her face as she felt like, I'm excited to do that which I greatly fear. So I can fulfill the call that God has given me. And I just said, you know, Delisa, my respect for you has just gone sky high. Because I know that would be hard for you. That would be most difficult. But in the most difficult is where God can anoint you the best. Don't say no, or I can't. Forgetting, to lose out of mind, to neglect, to let go of stuff, to let go of stuff. You see, zeal makes us forget about ourselves. Zeal makes us forget about the past. Zeal makes us quit dragging all the dirty laundry forward. Quit dragging all of the luggage forward. You know, it used to be tougher when we had to pick up those bags, but now it's a little easier because they're on wheels. So we figure we can take more with us. Let it go. Sometimes you have to let go before you can move on. I see people going around the same mountain again and again and again because they didn't let go of something, but they keep carrying it forward. You see, to keep your zeal, you have to let go of the past. I think David, as he knew, he messed up. He confessed it, he repented, and he let go of it, and then he moved on. There were consequences for some of the things he did in life, and he knew that. There were issues of things that he, you know, hey, this is going to happen because of this happened. And there are chain reactions to stuff that happens in our life. Sometimes God is gracious, pulls us out of the deal, and we feel no effect from it. Sometimes he goes, you know, I'm going to be with you the whole thing, but you started this mess, and some things, some chips are going to fall, but hey, stay with me. I'm going to help you through all this stuff. I'm going to help you. And God helped David through all of those difficult things that are going to happen in his life as his kids and just... A bunch of catastrophes happen, but he doesn't lose his zeal for God. He doesn't blame God. God, this is your mess. You cursed me. You did this. You made this happen. He's going, wait a second. I didn't do this. You did this. But I'm going to be with you in all of that. I'm going to help you. If you started some chain reactions, you realize, oh, there's a few things going to happen here. I've got consequences of this. Hey, God's saying, hey, I don't care. I'm going to take you through them. We're going to get through them. And maybe, somehow, maybe, you know, he prayed for that baby wouldn't die. He prayed it wouldn't die. And then because he thought maybe God will be gracious and maybe he will take away the circumstance. And sometimes he does. He does. It's amazing. I've had circumstances he just took away. Others he said, hey, forget about yourself. The Wazoo football team needs to forget about last week's game. Forget about it. Because there's a whole rest of the season ahead. There's exciting adventures, things to tackle, things, fun things to go through, adventures to have, life to live, record books to write. That if we just stop, instead of forget about it, some tough things happen to you, I know, let's work through it, but forget about it. Pick up his zeal. And reach forward. Reach forward. Reach forward. Reach forward. To the upward call of God with the zeal you have. And by the way, who gives you this zeal? You know, we got energy in that, but there's something that God also does as we direct our heart toward Him. He starts filling us up. He can change our outlook. As we start to try to change it, he starts doing some amazing things in the spirit that give us a different perspective. We look at life differently because of what Christ has done for us. Don't look back with regret, but reach forward with anticipation and vision. What would life be like if we totally forgot ourselves and totally lived for God? That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. 2 Timothy 1:8-9 says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed. Have zeal. Nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us. He saved us and given us a calling. And what kind of a calling is it? It's a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. You see, our calling and our zeal affecting that calling. Our calling is holy. Forget what others think. Our calling is to be holy. Our calling is not fulfilling our own desires or works. It's not about us. It's not about fulfilling us stuff. It's about fulfilling His stuff. And along the way we go, wow, look at all this other stuff that just happened as I was going after you. You took care of it all. I can't believe in my life of all the stuff God took care of. As I don't know how to, just go after me. And believe me, I fall very short, because I need this message as well. Our calling is fulfilling our God-given purpose by His grace. A holy calling. Not our works, but His purpose by grace. And I like what it says here. Your calling. Your purpose. Yeah, but all this has happened, and you know, God, it's just come to this, and you don't understand what I've gone through. You don't understand what brought me to this moment. Oh, yeah, He does. You see, He says, that purpose which was given to you by Christ before time began. Don't you think He knew? You weren't even here when He gave you the call. Time hadn't even started. He hadn't even made the first watch. And He knew about you. And He called you. He gave you a destiny. He gave you a purpose. And He said, fulfill it with zeal. Last two scriptures as we close. Revelation 3:19. For as many as I love... Does God love you? How many people? Raise your hand if God loves you. As many as I love. What's the second part? I rebuke and chasten. Hallelujah. I must be his because I've been rebuked and chastened. Therefore, what? Be zealous and repent. Our calling should involve zealous repentance. I missed it, Lord. I missed it. I missed it. Oh, God, my heart burns for you. I need to forget the past. I did this. Lord. And the amazing thing is God is the best forget-me-notter. Or forget-me-er. He forgets your past. He lets it go. And lastly, 1 Corinthians 14:12. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. My last point here is our calling should involve zealous pursuit of those spiritual gifts, those gifts and calling that are irrevocable. He's given you gifts to fulfill your calling. He's given you something. Pursue it. Pursue it. Fulfill it. Enjoy it. Live it. What would it be like if we totally forgot ourselves and totally lived for God? Father, help us. I believe all of us in here, Lord, want to fulfill that sentence. But it's hard sometimes to forget. It's hard sometimes to let down our pain, our anguish, our hurt. It's hard not to just forget about ourselves, and hard to forget about ourselves because we feel so much. But Lord, our desire is to live like Jesus, like David, like Paul. No, we have a call. And that you want to fulfill it. Help us, Lord. Help me, Jesus, to fulfill with zeal the call you've placed upon my life. And we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful, precious, perfect, and powerful name. And everybody said, amen. Next week, H.